We hope that you are all enjoying your holiday break.
I think we're in Mexico right now.
I think we are in Mexico right now for on the holidays.
So Feliz Navidad, everybody.
Yes, and Feliz Cumpleaños to all
of
everybody.
I mean, if people have December birthdays, I suppose.
Yeah, you know, or is that what that means?
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Well, good. I got it covered then.
Or does it mean anniversary?
So this is a very special episode from the previous year that we wanted to share once again with all of you. We have many new listeners. And by the way, thank you all very much. We are one of the top 5%
shared globally
yeah. podcasts in the world.
That really, really helps a podcast to have listeners share it. So we are so honored and so proud and so flattered that.
Thank you so much for sharing the show. You have no idea what it means to us. You guys are the greatest audience of all time. And we wanted to share one of our favorite episodes of all time with you, which is Elvis and John Lennon Are Alive or Not.
Or not.
Or not. I like how we put or not in parentheses.
Yeah, but maybe they are.
It's like IDK, no, IDK though.
Exactly. Right? The shrug emoji.
I don't know though. I don't want you to take this information out of hand and ruin your life. Shrug.
Elvis, my favorite part of this episode, you'll get to it, but did you know that Elvis did some serious background work,
extra work
in Home Alone, which is a movie so that you might have watched this week. So rewatch it and see if you can find Elvis.
Dumb conspiracies are our favorite, so please enjoy.
See you on the other side. Hello, welcome back to Shit They Don't Tell You. I'm Nikki Limon.
Hello, everybody. What's up? And my name is Crypto King.
Oh, he's the Crypto King today. So do not call him Ace. Do not call him Iceman.
Please don't.
Do not call him the Miracle Man.
I would not
man.
Like that. Thank you.
That is not who he is.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're going to talk about another conspiracy today.
Oh,
and
no, I'm turning it off.
It involves celebrities. I know half people turn it off, but you know what? We don't need them. We only need you.
That's right.
Because you get it. Like, you get
yeah,
it.
You make it happen.
Okay, you understand. Like,
these are people like, oh, I can't populate my brain with that.
It's those like, are oh. the people that are like, we take everything for face value. Okay,
I take life very seriously.
So I did an episode a couple months ago about celebrities who are alive that people have a conspiracy theory that they are actually dead and replaced by clones. And someone in the comment section asked if I could do an episode about celebrities who are supposedly dead that people think are actually alive and maybe they fake their death.
And they said this after saying that episode was a classic.
It was a classic.
Haters.
I actually love these episodes.
Me too.
Well, one, I like the celebrity conspiracies because it's like I've been in the entertainment industry long enough that I'm like, there's some truth that's stranger than fiction. So it's like nothing can be that far-fetched actually. And then there's also, it's like usually pretty wild, so it's like, okay, maybe I could stretch my brain to go there, but it most likely didn't happen.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think these are pretty fun. There's a lot of celebrities that people think are actually still alive that have publicly deceased, to name a few, like Michael Jackson, Tupac Shakur. But we're just going to focus on two today because it's just so much. There's just like so much theory to both of these. Starting with Elvis.
Oh, yeah.
This one I didn't. Okay, I'm new to Elvis. I haven't researched a whole lot about him as far as his death and the conspiracy goes. But I do think that his particular conspiracy theory is pretty interesting. To say the least.
Okay.
So I will go through a couple of the different aspects of this. There are a few different theories.
Can I guess one?
Okay, go ahead.
He choked on a peanut butter and banana sandwich.
And then
his favorite.
Stayed alive.
And he died on the toilet. Because he liked to eat his sandwiches on the toilet.
Well, it's not about, the conspiracy theory does not involve him dying. It involves him faking his death because he did die. You know, you do know that Elvis is dead.
I don't personally believe that, so that's difficult for me.
Okay, so maybe you believe in one of these theories.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so the first reason, or actually the first theory is that, so there were some documents that had been uncovered after his death that alluded to the fact that he always, well, one, he's very open about how much he loves America.
Yes.
And he loved the military, the government. He was very, like, pro military government.
He was in the
stuff.
Army.
Yeah.
During WW2.
But there were documents where he actually wrote to the administration at that time about wanting to help the FBI in any way possible, like, just wanting to be, like, a good patriot and, like, help the be an undercover agent even. And so a lot of people think that he was helping to bust a certain mafia at the time called the Fraternity, I believe. And something went wrong where he got busted as an undercover agent. So he was like doing this deal where he was buying a plane. And like they figured out that he was actually working with the FBI.
Oh, wow.
And so he had to fake his death and then go into witness protection basically and create a new identity and not be seen ever again in order to, you know, survive. And so it's very, very hush hush because if the fraternity found out he was still alive, they would make sure that didn't happen.
Wow. Can you imagine those conversations too? I'm trying to help the fraternity, baby.
Yeah.
I wish. I hope.
So there's an author. Her name is Gail Brewer Giorgio. And she wrote a book in 1988 called Is Elvis Alive? And explained to Time magazine that after looking at tons of FBI documents, she concluded that Presley had to go into witness protection because of this after the FBI enlisted him to bust this organization. And she also told Time that she isn't sure if he's still alive today.
Sure, sure, sure.
But she knows for a fact that he didn't die on the day that they say
Let's
he died.
Let's go.
That's what she said.
I like that.
Although some people have said that they've looked through all of the same FBI documents and they did not reach the same conclusions.
Yeah, they said they found documents that showed that he, in fact, died on the toilet.
I did see the handwritten letter where he wrote saying that he wanted to help the FBI.
Well, yeah, he was very, like you said, he's very patriotic.
Yeah.
There's pictures of him and Nixon. Like, he was very much just yes. like, let's go.
He's like, how can I help my country?
Yeah,
exactly. So there's a couple other clues that support the evidence that he may still be alive or he didn't die that day that they said he died. Okay. So one of them is there was a man who was headed to Memphis Airport and purchased a one-way ticket to Buenos Aires, Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
Argentina.
The capital.
And reportedly, the man looked like Elvis, and he gave the name John Burroughs, which was actually an alias that Elvis used to use when booking hotels for himself.
And he said, yeah, I'm John Burroughs, baby.
Yeah, he said it like that.
Yeah.
Well, he did a
dead giveaway.
He said, I'm a John Burroughs, baby. But he was moving his hips like this. He was trying to fake a Midwest accent. He was trying to fake a Southern accent, but you know, people still got
it. He's like, you don't think I'm John Burroughs? I'm all shook up, baby.
Yeah. So it might have been him.
It could have been him.
And I actually know that from working in a hotel where a lot of A-list celebrities would stay. And by the way, people are always like, when it comes to celebrity conspiracies, they're like, this could never happen because like so many people would have to keep their mouths shut about stuff. But for A-list celebrities, they're in like a different dimension, like a different world. B and C-list celebrities, I can't help you. Like, I don't believe anything. But A-list celebrities have some weird shit.
In my opinion, here goes Nikki again, bragging about being a waitress for A-list celebrities.
It's, you're jealous because... I got to
She's
meet...
She's like, service to the stars.
I got to be rejected by a lot of celebrities and you didn't. Yeah. That's cool. Don't let your jealousy show. Okay, that's but cool. I worked at a hotel where like celebrities would stay there when they didn't want the public to know where they were. So like usually people would stay there when they got cosmetic surgery done or like if they just... Well, Dave Chappelle was there because he just generally wanted to hide from the public. And then there was just a slew of those type of celebrities.
You also met Leo DiCaprio, name drop, sorry.
Yes, I met like any A-list celebrity, you name it, they were there.
What was Leo's drink order?
A double Grey Goose and lime.
So cool that she knows that. So fucking cool.
By the way, his eyes piercingly blue.
Yeah, beautiful man.
Like sees through your soul.
Yeah.
I was very taken
You'd
aback.
You'd rather be married to him any day.
Taken aback. No, I don't think I could. I'd be so intimidated.
Okay.
I married a man that I'm not never going to be intimidated by.
It's way low on the scale.
Never
going to
be intimidated.
Never going to happen.
He's got brown eyes.
No. Brown eyes color of shit, don't you know?
Anyway, what I was trying to get at was a lot of them would use aliases. So it's not like weird. Like they did. And they used like funny aliases where like one, the lead singer of Green Day, his alias was Sam Pellegrino. And so it was just like,
solid.
They do that. Okay.
They're cute.
Another big fat clue that they left in plain sight for everybody to see is that on Elvis's tombstone, they misspelled his middle name. It
Wait, what's
was
his middle name?
His middle name's Aaron, but with one A. And they spelled it with two A's. And that is to clue the public in, or those who are watching, that's not really Elvis.
Can I actually ask you this?
They did it on purpose.
Why would you name your kid Elvis and then give him the most generic middle name of all time?
Aaron, but without the two A's, just a one A Aaron.
Okay, that's exotic. You ever seen a one A Aaron? No, that's exotic.
So
I take it back.
Yeah, so they were like, let's do this shit on purpose because it's not really dead.
I see.
But
what is Elvis, by the way? What is an Elvis?
What do you mean, what is an Elvis?
Where does it come from? Nobody names anybody Elvis.
I don't know.
Where the fuck does that come from?
I mean, there's Elvis Costello. I mean,
where does that come from?
What do you mean, where does it come from?
What the hell does it mean? Did you do any research with it?
On his name?
Yeah, did you do any research for this?
No, I didn't. Fuck you.
Wow. Wow, very awesome.
Some fans said that actually he started spelling his name with two A's, his middle name. He started
set up.
Huh? Yeah, he just started spelling it with two A's. Kind of like how my middle name was misspelled at birth.
Yeah.
On my birth certificate, but sometimes I spell it the way it was meant to be spelled, and then sometimes I spell it like how it is legally. And honestly, I can't even remember which one's the real one now.
But and the best thing is when people inform you that you spelled your own middle name wrong, because that happens. Because we've been buying houses and stuff lately.
Yeah.
And then they're like, "Hey, you spelled your own."
Buying so many houses.
You know what I'm saying?
Excuse us.
Sorry, but yeah, no. But they're like, "Hey, you did your own middle name wrong," and it's like. It's not because of this. You don't understand.
You don't get
what it's like.
You don't get me.
You don't know what it's like.
So the other, another big clue, Priscilla Presley slipped up when she was being interviewed by Oprah. And she was saying, quote, and this is talking about their daughter. She said, Elvis wanted her to have everything. He grew up very poor. And then the interview takes a very strange turn when she goes, that's exactly what he said the other day. And then she corrects herself and goes, I mean, that's what you said the other day. You said that, Oprah. So people have been speculating that she and her family do keep in contact with him. And she just slipped up because it was a casual, like, she was just talking to him the other day.
Unbelievable.
You know, and Elvis wanted her to have everything.
Because he didn't really know. He too grew up very, very poor.
Yeah, Paul.
And it's exactly what he said the other day.
Paul, what?
Oh.
Yeah.
I believe it.
There's also forums online dedicated to Elvis sightings. And there was an Elvis sighting at his 82nd birthday in Graceland. There was a man who would be around Elvis's age that had similar Elvis features that showed up with security personnel.
You're telling me an Elvis impersonator managed to get onto Graceland?
No. Not an Elvis impersonator.
Oh, my bad.
He's an old man.
But he
on
was
his 82nd birthday.
Dressed in the Elvis outfit.
No. He wasn't dressed in the Elvis outfit. He was dressed in like a puffy.
That was your evidence?
Right.
Like, he's wearing a sparkly white suit. Hello, it's over. We found him.
But isn't that odd? Like,
that is odd.
That a guy that looks like him, that would be that age, shows up with security personnel.
That's funny.
I wish I had these pictures loaded, but I don't.
And then he did blue suede shoes on stage.
Yeah, exactly. Another thing that's interesting is people think that there was a Home Alone extra that was Elvis.
Okay, that's incredible. I'm in for that.
I can show you.
I believe it already.
Wait, hold on. I want you to see this because here's the.
Was it an airport scene?
Yes, it was actually. Have you seen it?
No, but that's where I would put Elvis if I had Elvis.
He was in an airport scene.
Yeah, I'd put him in there because it's you can't tell. And like it's
what do you mean
people.
What do you mean you can't tell?
Well, no, if I was gonna do this like as a troll,
I
would do it in like an airport scene where you it's kind of far back enough and like the central cast is enough in focus where like if Elvis was there, I would have him cross like
go ahead. Let me play this really quick, please. And Mark, you can play this on screen.
This is awesome
for everybody.
Here it looks like Elvis to me.
But here's a clip of Elvis.
Okay.
And then this is here's this guy. And then they're saying his, look at his facial movements. And he's just the same facial
That's
movements.
Not Elvis, dude. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I wish.
It does actually, I will say, it kind of does look like.
He just ticked his head to the left.
But that's how old he would be.
I do that.
That's how old he would be. And he has the same beard shape.
That's not Elvis.
Okay. We understand it's not Elvis. But look at this difference.
I get it.
No shit, it's not Elvis. Elvis is dead, but this is the theory. No, but
I wish it was.
What do you mean you wish it was?
Well, no, I just wish what I was looking at. I was like, oh, God damn, that's close. Well, good thing that
they tell you you can decide.
I know.
They say you decide, Elvis, or just a coincidence, and you're on the coincidence side.
I'm a coincidence guy. But,
you know, maybe.
Yeah.
It's the king, and maybe you're just a hater, and that's how he's allowed to do things like that.
My bad.
Long live the king. EAP.
He's hiding in plain sight.
Yeah, well, the reason they said that he showed up in the background of this Home Alone movie is because the director did another movie before Home Alone where...
John Hughes.
He did... Was it John Hughes?
Oh, no. It was Christopher Columbus.
Christopher Columbus?
Yeah. Chris Columbus.
Chris Columbus. Yeah, okay. Yeah. That was really confusing.
You're like, that's whack.
Like, he did the pilgrim thing, right?
No, okay. Yeah, well, that too. But...
So, anyway, he did a movie about... a group of girls kidnapping Elvis right before Home Alone. And supposedly the theory goes that Elvis saw the movie and liked it and begged to be an extra in the in whatever his upcoming movie was.
And he was still alive in this year? In like 89 when they made this movie?
No, he's dead.
Right. So, right. But so Elvis, that's what I'm saying.
Elvis in hiding saw the movie. No, I know, movie.
But okay. I'm just saying, like, help me understand. Because, like, when did Elvis die?
19 I don't know. I have to look that that's up. Okay. Hold it's on. Feels like second.
I'm hosting JK News right now.
I know. Like, geez.
Hey, fuck you, just man. Just fucking don't accept it. 1977
August 16th, 1977.
Yeah, yeah. So that's well before Home Alone came out. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I'm saying part of the theory, like he came out of hiding.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because he saw a movie about him getting kidnapped, and he was like, "Fuck yeah, I want to be in your next movie."
Yep.
And no one will even know because everyone thinks I'm dead.
Of course.
And also I'm older now. And so people like my fucking stupid ass husband will be like, that's not him, but it really is him. Okay. Then you got this footage of him with the that people think the groundskeeper of Graceland is him. And they even show the groundskeeper making a sign to the camera indicating life. Like he's alive. Like he knows the camera's watching and... hey, I'm alive. It's like a V with his finger.
Okay.
Like this.
Yeah.
So in numerology, like the Illuminati are like this means that.
Got it.
Sign of life.
That's word.
Supposedly. I don't know. Okay. And the last thing that people have speculated on is that they think that Elvis assumed a new identity as a pastor in Arkansas named Bob Joyce. Even though Bob Joyce says he is not Elvis, everyone still is like, yeah, you are.
Yeah, and it's not that convincing.
They even made like a little site that combines their images to prove that he's Elvis. So I don't know how people can even get it wrong. Hold on 1 second. Clearly Elvis.
That is not Elvis.
So they do this.
That is
thing.
Not Elvis. That's so I funny. Know. That's funny, man.
Okay, but this combined with all of the other evidence, his tombstone being named wrong, him showing up on his own Graceland 82nd birthday.
Sure.
The groundskeeper in between pastoring, he's also a groundskeeper at his place, plus John Burroughs went to Argentina on this day, plus he had these documents about him wanting to work with FBI. Plus, listen, Priscilla said that she just talked to him the other day.
If I stared at the sun too much, I'd be like, that's Elvis. But otherwise, I'm like, that doesn't even look like him, like in the eyes or nose or anything.
You know what's funny is that if Elvis didn't die and then this guy is the current Elvis, people would make conspiracies that they swapped him out, that Elvis died and like they swapped him out for this guy.
No question. No question.
Okay, so... that's the Elvis conspiracy. Good. That's about the end of the road for that. But the second person, this one gets a little bit more intricate. So we may have to take a break in the middle of it. But I did want to bring up, because there's many details of this one. John Lennon, as he appears on my shirt here, John Lennon is also someone that people think didn't really die.
Okay, personally, I believe that John Lennon of like the, you know, what is it, mid-70s, looks much different than the John Lennon of the late 60s.
Okay.
He grew facial hair, but it's not just that. He just looks different.
Okay. Well, actually,
subscribe.
It goes along with theory number one.
Okay, let's go.
So theory number one, and I actually found out about this theory when I was looking up the Paul McCartney is dead conspiracy.
Classic.
One of the theories of the Paul is dead conspiracy is that there was always multiple Pauls. So even if one of the Pauls did die, maybe the one that we were most used to seeing, that there was always multiple Pauls. And so this is also a Paul McCartney. And that the Beatles themselves all had body doubles, and they were actually a band that was not organic, but contrived. Oof. By the global elites. It was a social engineering project by Tavistock and EMI, aka the Illuminati, aka the Crown.
Uh-oh.
Designed to mass influence the public.
Duh.
The Rolling Stones were also part of this Tavistock project. They were the bad boys to the Beatles' good boys. So basically, whatever side the public chose, they controlled both sides. So you're still under control of them. So this was like when they started, and this was the 60s. And this is when we have FBI documents talking about how all sorts of secret agencies were using mind control tactics and trying to figure out how to mass manipulate the public. So not too far-fetched if you combine that kind of evidence. And so this was the first, according to this theory, this is one of their first projects where they were seeing if it could be successful. And because of that, they had body doubles from the beginning. They had multiple versions of each lad so that the public could get used to seeing all kinds of versions, and that you wouldn't, in your mind, you'd have a combination picture of all of them. Wow. And so they could swap them out at any time.
It's
and,
like the Paul Walker family.
What?
Well, for some reason, they were able to replicate the image of Paul Walker by using Paul Walker's family. They used his brother.
That's the deep fake stuff, technology that
same
they can
idea,
use.
Same idea, though. Like,
kind of. Okay. And yeah, they, like some people will tell you that if you look up any pre-1966 footage, that it's been tampered with and that they have been using like a combination of images on top of the footage. And it's very, very hard to get untouched, untampered with footage of the Beatles.
Wow.
And why is that? Like, is it because Paul died and now they want to replace his image? Or is it because all of them had different body doubles take over? And then they tried to do Beach Boys as the American version.
Classic, I love them.
But the CIA was like kind of a baby back then, so like they didn't get their training rolls off yet, and so the Beach Boys didn't get as big as the Beatles. But it's kind of interesting when you think about this, because nobody wants to believe that story, that they were basically the first industry plant, because the story is so nice that they were like this organic group of lads from Liverpool that, like, it's like a Cinderella story. Like, they were talented musicians that just made it, and they made it huge. But it's interesting that they were actually only together for like less than a decade, and they still influence it on a massive scale right now. Like, I bought this shirt at Target like 3 years ago. That's 60 years later.
She's wearing a Beatles shirt.
I'm wearing a Beatles shirt right now. And that's 60 years later. And they're having a documentary. A Beatles documentary is coming out. Or actually, by the time this episode comes out, it'll already be out. So that's launching on Disney Plus. And that's a Beatles documentary. Who wants to know how the Beatles made an album that they weren't even around, they weren't even alive for? I do.
They're so influential.
But why do I want to see that?
Yeah.
But I do want to see it. But why do I want to see that? How did they creep into every generation, even though this was like more than a half a century ago?
What's your theory?
I just think it's interesting. Like, I mean, obviously, I think that knowing just from an entertainment background, it's all about PR and marketing. So whoever owns the rights to Beatles memorabilia, Beatles merchandise, Beatles music releasing, whoever owns those rights, which I believe is Universal Music, I think, they're going to want to continue to keep the Beatles relevant. So whether it was an industry plan or it's just about what it always is, which is money, somehow the Beatles continue to stay relevant. Paul McCartney just dropped another album. Let It Be, the original Let It Be album, hit number 5 on the Billboard charts now. Whoa. And they sold another, I don't know, they topped the charts on how many Let It Be albums they sold that paralleled how much they sold back 60 years ago when they were like at the top, like the peak of their careers. So that's pretty wild that they're able to continuously stay on top.
Yeah.
Which makes the theory really interesting that, like, maybe they weren't organic. Maybe this was always from the beginning set out to be this, like, big thing that, was, that rules for a century.
If it was, and that's the best I've ever heard of.
I know, right? But people, I get why you get emotionally attached because you relate to them being from humble beginnings and then becoming
Liverpool, mate.
Exactly.
Can't take it away from me.
But, and this also is like, people will go like, oh no, they started as the quarrymen and they met when they were teenagers. And that, I think all, I mean, that everyone that believes this particular theory still agrees that they met when they were teenagers. The quarrymen was organic. But then after the death of Stuart Sutcliffe and after Pete Best was replaced by Richard Starkey, a.k.a. Ringo, is when they became more of a product where they got signed and they had studio musicians filling in a lot of the music in the studio, like on their actual albums. You hear a lot of music that was played by musicians in there. And then George Martin was producing it. And so he added a lot of oomph to it. So there was like a combination. They were still good musicians, but there was also extra added to it.
Of course.
So like, you know, people can take this theory and use different elements like that and run with it. But anyway, I think that back to them being body doubles, there's if you YouTube something like multiple Beatles or Beatles weren't organic, or you YouTube any of this, there's some videos that pop up where there's a compilation of all kinds of pictures that were taken where you see the boys at different heights. They trade off who's tallest. Like sometimes John's tallest, sometimes Paul is tallest, sometimes George. And it's not because of different shoes they're wearing, and it's not because of the slopes, like, because people try to disprove it with that. Like, maybe it was angles. Maybe. Yeah, exactly. But then there's actual, like, where they're all in the same field. You can see their whole bodies, and they still switch height positions.
Okay.
So that's kind of odd. And then there's facial recognition software where you can put in multiple images of before 1966. Like, basically everything pre-Sgt. Pepper and then everything now, like, doesn't match
That's
up.
That's my discrepancy with only one of the Beatles, frankly.
With only John?
I think John looks different. Everybody else looks the same. So everyone likes to say, like, that Paul died, but I'm like,
yeah,
you know, he looks the same to me, but John looks much different.
Yeah, I think Paul looks different, too, especially considering, I think all of them look different, by the way. But
they went through a grunge phase.
And it's also because we didn't see them for, like, a year and a half. They stopped their tours abruptly. That's another part of the why these theories come about, because like they were killing it on tour. They were doing so good. And then they just abruptly canceled all their tours. Like, why? And then we didn't hear from them for a year, a little over a year. So people thought they were broken up. You know, they thought that was the secret. And then they all come back with Sgt. Pepper with completely different looks. They got mustaches now. And people look a little different. But maybe you can't remember what they looked like because it was so long ago.
Frankly.
Maybe
Ringo looks the same.
Yeah, I mean
that motherfucker looks the same.
I think so. Up on first glance, you know, but maybe
true,
because you can't really remember because it was a year and a half ago, and also images switched from being mostly black and white to mostly color, so there's that discrepancy too involved.
True,
that's harder for your eyes.
Who is Sgt. Pepper? Is this just
Sgt. Pepper? Is supposedly a made up character. Okay. Yeah. Although the deeper you go in this rabbit hole, people are like, there actually was a Sgt. Pepper. He was in the MI5. He was one of the leading leaders of MI5.
And, let's go.
You know, so that is a clue to how they were government controlled. But anyway, they had a completely different look. They all had mustaches. And there are certain aspects to both John and Paul where if you go back to their pre-1966 looks, their noses are a little different. Their head shapes are a little different. Their earlobes are a little different.
But why does noses change though? Noses is different. Like you have to change your nose.
Yeah.
Like, through plastic surgery.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So that's maybe what happened. Maybe.
Maybe.
Or they got replaced by people.
Well, I mean, you can have plastic surgery, although it wasn't very common back then in the 60s.
Right.
To do that unless you broke your nose or something. There are certain aspects like ear canal shapes, which we went over this in the Paul is Dead conspiracy video, but like there are certain aspects you can't change, like your head shape and stuff, and why people are like that part's weird or whatever. But so this theory goes, there were multiple Johns, there were multiple Pauls, and so maybe the body double died.
Oh wow.
although he's the one we've been most used to as John Lennon. So it's still like a John Lennon death in my mind. I feel like that doesn't discount that the person we knew as John Lennon died.
Yeah, Yoko's guy.
Or you could combine it with theory number two, which we'll get to in a second, which is like the body double also faked his death or whatever.
Oh, shit. That's juicy.
It's juicy, right?
Listen, when we come back.
Before we come back. Like the other aspect to this is if you don't, I mean, whether or not you think, if you're going to buy all this conspiracy stuff, whether or not you think Paul died or maybe he retired or maybe they wanted a body double to take over, John Lennon also wanted to go with Paul in that theory. And people found, there was a video that surfaced in 2010 of the groundskeeper of Paul McCartney's childhood home. His name is John Holliday, who looks very shockingly like an older now age version of what Paul McCartney might look like.
He does.
The version where his lobes are still attached and he still has brown eyes and his head's still more round shaped.
In my opinion,
mm-hmm.
current Paul McCartney looks more like Paul McCartney than that guy.
I'm not talking about this though. I'm talking about how his friend, Colin Unwin, looks really shockingly like an older version of original pre-1966 John Lennon.
Interesting.
And so there's pictures of them together and they hang out. And the Colin Unwin is a huge Beatles fan and makes videos about all his Beatles memorabilia. He also touched up the Strawberry Fields sign. He leaves flowers on Stuart Sutcliffe's grave, which is one of the band members that died. And he is like, they're just really into the Beatles. They both live in Liverpool. And then they both like, you know, kind of randomly appeared later in life. So that's like, people are just speculating. Yeah. Maybe these were the original versions that we were used to seeing in the press and in on tour. And that's why they look so radically different later.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't there an element to this though, where you're like, well, not you, but a lot of people are just like,
yeah.
Yeah, that white guy looks kind of like John Lennon, huh?
Sure. You know what
I mean? It's not like John Lennon, but people are like, yeah, hey, that white guy looks like Paul McCartney if he was replaced by a body double and aged.
Yeah, sure.
There's something funny about that.
It's pretty funny. Well, we'll actually get to that.
Oh shit!
After the break.
All right. Please buy whatever we tell you to buy.
Buy whatever we tell you to buy.
Please, no, but please
download whatever
we
tell you to download.
Yeah, we need you to download it and buy it.
And go and tell whoever we told you to buy's product that we told you to buy that.
Yeah.
And tell them how much you love it.
And rate it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll see you after the break.
Bye-bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to, like, thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us.
Listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate. We're, like, kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless.
Huge shout out right now to Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blake.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Thank you for supporting the show.
Okay, so you said that people might go, oh, well, any random white guy could be John Lennon.
I firmly believe that, yeah.
Okay.
Deeply in my soul.
So theory number two might interest you quite a bit, because this theory states that John Lennon is alive and he actually does gigs as a John Lennon impersonator.
See, that's just a master troll, by the way.
Exactly. But John Lennon, if
yeah,
you did
he was kind of a troll.
He was a troll. He was not kind of a troll. He got off on fucking with you.
Dude, when he talked
he
about
loved to fuck with
how
people.
They're bigger than Jesus, he knew what he was doing.
He knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
He also just like, he loved like leaving little clues, like doing those back record things where you play the record backwards and it has a message. Like, and then the whole Paul is dead thing. Whether you think that Paul is actually dead or that the Beatles were fucking with you,
which is more likely,
they were contributing to fucking with you.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
they left a lot of clues like on purpose alluding to that fact. They even had a whole like trial about it because they thought Columbia was trying to get more money from it because record sales like skyrocketed once that theory came out. So anyway, John Lennon was a troll and did have that type of humor where he liked to fuck with you. So What more perfect than he faked his death and now he's a John Lennon impersonator.
It's really good.
So this theory says that he's a John Lennon impersonator named Mark Stacer. And if you want to get into depth on this theory, there's a guy named Miles Mathis who wrote an entire PDF. It's a 54-page PDF. I read the whole thing and it's really interesting. Like if you want to read it for entertainment value, it's pretty interesting. And he brings up a lot of details and he connects like so many dots. You can tell he's been in like this conspiracy world for a while.
Yeah.
So he's able to like pull from like crazy
references.
Parts to like to connect the dots. Anyway, I'm just going to go over, basically I'll go over the PDF and summarize some of the bullet points because these are the things that I think are interesting about it, about the theory. It starts with this movie that was released. It's a really low budget movie. I think it was released in 2009. So a really low budget movie called Let Him Be, about a couple who thinks John Lennon faked his death and then they try to track him down. So it's like a psyop within a psyop.
Okay.
It's like a bluff within a bluff.
Yeah.
So then in this movie, the actor playing the John Lennon that died but is actually alive is Mark Stacer, who this theory says is actually John Lennon playing himself actually alive.
Which is pretty lazy, by the way, if that's true.
Or it just like is like, well, it's so stupid if you believe this that because it's too crazy. Also, the weird thing about this, though, is this movie is completely buried. Like, after this paper came out, you can't find it anywhere.
Really?
You can't find it. It's not on Netflix. It's not.
You and I watched some garbage Beatles movies.
Yeah, no, you can't find this movie anywhere. I think when this paper was written in 2016, or when it was last revised, you could find a copy on eBay for $200. But other than that, you cannot find this anywhere, which is very strange for any movie, because usually there's lots of like agreements that they want the people to buy DVDs and you get money that way.
That's
and like
over.
Especially for a low budget movie, like you would be trying to recuperate your costs. It's a lot of money to make a movie. So it's interesting that it's completely buried.
Wow.
Another interesting part of this movie is that there are original songs involved that are very Lennon-esque. So very bold of them to write songs, like there's four of them, Quintus. Original ones, that sound very like Lennon, and the Mark Stacer guy sings them, who sounds exactly like John Lennon. And he does a perfect Liverpudlian accent
really hard.
In speech and in singing. And you can Google videos of him doing one of his gigs where he's speaking fluently, even though Mark Stacer is apparently Michigan born and a full blown American. He lives in Michigan. He's American, born and raised in Michigan. So we'll get back to that in a minute. But I'll just go through. Okay. So one of the songs he sings in the film is called I Was There. And in it, like, I mean, like basically if John Lennon was trolling, I Was There is a whole song about how he was there.
Right.
When John Lennon got shot.
Yeah.
You know, so it goes along with his personality. So I'll just go through this bit by bit, because I think he really structured it in a way where he goes through like the smallest pieces of evidence and then goes through more. What are you trying to read my stuff?
Yeah, kind
of. Why? Don't I'm read very my curious. Stuff.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm gonna tell you. Everyone's curious. Okay. So let's start with the director. The director and writer of the film is supposed to be this guy named Peter McNamee, but he has no presence on IMDb whatsoever except for this one film. And according to the web, he was born, he made this one film, and then he disappeared from the face of the earth.
Well, and frankly, he has a bullshit name.
McNamee? Yeah.
Hey, yeah, I don't know. I'm Peter McNamee. I don't know.
Oh, there's odd inconsistencies with all these names, too. And so it's very weird. We'll
figure it out later.
McNamee. Usually people in media, like, you're trying to be a director. Like, you want your name to be out there. Yeah, you want a web presence. You want to build something. Not McNamee. No, and then if you go to lethimbe.com, it says that McNamee produced some of the biggest names in the British and European music industry before 1987, but Miles Mathis, who wrote this paper, said there's not one word to confirm that. At LinkedIn, it says he's the CEO of Abracadabra Films, but a web search only turns up companies by that name in Chile, Montpellier, and Melbourne, not Toronto, which is where supposedly Peter McNamee is. However, he thinks that Abracadabra, like, they used a lot of magic stuff in there. Beatles dropped a lot of magic clues in their stuff, like a magical mystery tour. Yeah. So he thinks that maybe this might have been just another Easter egg, like Abracadabra films.
From fucking Uruguay?
From...
Oh, no, Montpellier is Uruguay.
Oh, I don't know. But no, he's saying that the only Abracadabra films are in these cities, but that's not where Peter McNamee is.
I see.
So that can't be his company. Wow. Can't be the same one.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. So also, he says he's from Blackburn, Lancashire, which is mentioned in the Beatles song A Day in the Life. And that's about 30 miles north of Liverpool. So supposedly you would accept that it's a coincidence,
yeah, sure,
that
I would.
McNamee from Blackburn happened to get involved with the film project in Toronto. And then, but then he appears in a lot of the behind the scenes making of documentary, and he has a faded English accent, but it's not Liverpool or Blackburn.
Okay.
It's like a London or Cambridge dialect. Okay. So here's where we start to go further into this.
It's going to get crazier.
Oh, yeah. It gets way crazy. This is just the tip of the iceberg. When he's asked how he came up with the movie, he says that, like, he played some demo tapes. He played some music, and his friend was like, where'd you get the Lennon demos? And then he's like, what? And he's like, so then I knew I wasn't crazy. Like, this was, like, very Lennon-esque, which is really weird because it makes it sound like he was playing the music. But
Then
later, it's like, no, he was playing the music from Mark Stacer. But then Mark Stacer says he doesn't get involved till later in the movie. So there's a lot of, like, inconsistencies with the story of how this movie came to be.
Yeah, who found the music and who replicated it.
Exactly.
First.
We don't know. So the Lennon demos pre-existed any of this, and they were written according to, like, weird, all these, their stories. It was written by Mark Stacer.
Hmm.
Okay. So then the same kind of weirdness applies to their producer, Carol Wright, who has just this one film to her credit. Again, just like, this is the only thing on the resume. And the main actor, Sean Clement, also just this one film. And it's all been scrubbed.
Of course.
Everything's been scrubbed. Like, it's not even on her resume anymore.
I'm shocked.
And now she's, at the time of the film, actually, she was working for NBC. But even with her working with NBC, it never went anywhere. And it was actually, not only did it not go anywhere, but it was suppressed. And you can't get it anywhere. The female lead in the film is, her name is Kathleen Monroe, and she's actually the only actor in the film with any sort of web presence at all. But if you look at her IMDb, all of the roles that she played were as an FBI agent or as, like, some undercover person. She was in a thing called Survival of the Dead. Is that a coincidence?
Then
she was in another TV series called Without a Trace.
I've heard of that.
Sure, but they all as if it's clues to, they're all about someone that faked their death.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So that's interesting. And also, I thought it was interesting that Carol Wright, her name's Carol. Remember that? We'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
So Kathleen Monroe, the lead that we were just talking about, at certain points in the movie, she's reading different books. But the books aren't like front and center, like an Easter egg for John Lennon fans to catch. They're kind of just like in the corner, and it's just a casual throwaway where you can barely read or see what the title of the book is. But they're actually like books that John Lennon was really big on. So there, the first book she's reading through is a book called Chiros or Kiros. Anyway, it's a numerology book. So Lennon was really, really into numerology. He was super open about being haunted by the number 9. So there's that. And he referred to this book as his Bible.
Okay.
So it was weird for it to be, if you were going to place it in the film, you'd want like John Lennon fans to like see it. But you can barely even see it. It's like just flashed in one scene.
With some Tom Cruise shit.
And then in another scene, you can barely read the title of the book she's reading. And she's looking directly at the camera while she's reading it.
Okay.
And at a certain point, you can kind of catch some of the letters. And you can put together that she's reading Alice Through the Looking Glass, which was another John Lennon book that he was obsessed with. He loved Alice in Wonderland, Lewis Carroll stuff. Lewis Carroll.
Okay.
All of the names are John Lennon-y.
It's pretty good.
It's very weird. These are real people. Which makes, that's why I think this theory is so juicy, because it's just so like,
I think it's better than the
how
one.
The hell?
Yeah.
Okay. And then it goes on to bring up Sean Clement again, the guy who's the lead in this film, whose resume is completely scrubbed of this movie. So this guy, Sean Clement, never acted in anything else, never did anything else. You can't find anything else on his resume, but yet he's here playing the lead, and he looks very much like a young John Lennon.
Very much, yeah.
And his name is Sean Clement.
But if you did his hair in some other way, maybe I wouldn't think that.
So, but like his nose,
yeah,
for
his
example.
His nose is really close, yeah.
And people,
he's just about a doppelganger.
People say that like John Lennon's nose is very distinct.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
he's got schnoz.
Yeah, and that like,
yeah, that
looks
makes sense.
Very similar to him. And yeah. Also, he's like, okay, well, if we're going to play on names, Sean is a lot like John. And Sean is also the name of one of John's sons.
Okay.
Sean, you know, Yoko Ono and his kid. But this guy, Sean Clement, he doesn't look like Yoko Ono's son at all. He's very Caucasian. So we don't, if he is related to John Lennon in any way, we don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know.
But we don't know.
But those are all, he says these are still red, very small red flags compared to what's coming up. So, which is Mark Stacer, the meat of this whole thing is Mark Stacer, who we're told is a well-known Lennon impersonator. Not only can he sing exactly like John Lennon, he mimics a perfect Liverpoolian accent while singing and while talking. He also looks exactly like him. So we'll talk about, it talks about exactly here, but it says, let's just pause for a moment to see what we have so far. So good impersonators aren't that rare, but good impersonators who look exactly like who they are impersonating, even when out of costume, must be very rare. And this is what you were saying, is that like, oh, well, any white guy could play John Lennon.
Yeah.
But if you look at other John Lennon impersonators, which we will in a second, you could tell pretty much right away that they're not John Lennon. Whereas this guy has down to the very details of his face, including moles, dental work, ear structure, everything is a perfect match for John Lennon. So what he's saying in this paper is that what we're meant to believe is that So not only can he sing like him and he looks exactly like him, even without costume or makeup, but he can also play all of John's songs on both guitar and keyboard, singing and playing at the same time. So run the odds on that again. And Lennon would have been 67 in 2007. Stacer with no makeup looks about 65 to 70 in 2007. And the character in the film is said to be 65. They're the same height. So he goes, run the odds again. And then he says, Mark Stacer also uses authentic guitars, the same type used by Lennon. He has compiled one of the largest collections of rare 60s memorabilia, audio and video in the Midwest. John Lennon could probably say the same thing.
All that means is he's a Lennon fan.
He is a Lennon fan. That's until it. You, we'll go further into That's this it, though. Man. Because I said the same thing. I was like, yeah, okay. Yeah, anybody could have a
fan. Okay.
You know what I told you about that other guy, Colin Unwin, has a big collection of memorabilia. So, so far I'm like, all right, whatever. Well, he did, there was an article in 2004 where you see the full extent of Mark Stacer's collection. And he says, you name it, I have it. He showed only a small fraction of the collection in his hometown in Michigan. And it was still the largest collection of Beatles memorabilia outside the Smithsonian. But the story doesn't make much sense because he says he's in his 40s and that he used to attend live concerts by the Beatles in 1964 and 65,
please, bro.
Which would make him like, what, 7 years old?
Yeah, and he barely did it.
And he has like all types of memories from these concerts. He also says that he was able to gather a lot of this memorabilia when the Beatles was at an ebb in pop culture, but Beatles were never in an ebb.
Yeah.
Like, as I said before, we're still getting Target Beatles shirts.
Damn right.
Okay. Also, what I found most interesting is that this is the only job he has, and he has really expensive John Lennon guitars, but he also has gold records. He has Beatles gold records. How could you? The only people that could get gold records are people that work directly with the Beatles.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
Well, like the actual gold records.
I see. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, that, you know, when they sell a certain amount of albums.
Yeah, well, I know they do replicas though.
Well, no, these are actually.
Oh, wow.
It says he has actual gold records. He has framed autographs with original line drawings. He has an NYC restaurant menu signed by all four Beatles during their first US tour. And he has gold records. But back to this movie, Let Him Be. They tell you in the interview that Mark Stacer needed makeup to look like John Lennon. But if you watch the film and you watch the interviews and you study the photos, actually the opposite is true. He needs makeup and a wig and a hat and dark glasses to try to not look
like John Lennon. Dude, this guy looks like John Lennon to me.
One
is bullshit.
Right?
This looks like John Lennon.
Actually, when he's playing himself with no makeup, nothing, when he looks actually the most like John Lennon. But when they try to put disguises on him is when he's like trying.
But he still looks like John Lennon.
Yeah, he does. Exactly. There's no hiding it.
John Lennon with like a Miss Piggy costume on. Like
a Miss Piggy costume
on?
Yeah,
it's like clearly the most absurd thing to make you not look like somebody, but you look like them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then, you know, people are like, well, you know, if you were John Lennon and you faked your dad, like you couldn't just play Mark Stacer and get away with it, like being a John Lennon impersonator.
Yeah, sure.
But Paul McCartney actually did a similar thing in 1984, where he was busking in front of busking.
Okay.
In front of a square station, like in front of basically a subway station, and he was doing like Yesterday and all kinds of different songs.
Shit?
Yeah, and he was doing them in a weird type
of
tune.
Watch this?
Yeah, you
That's
can.
So cool.
Yeah, you can actually. I can't play it because
That's
we'll probably
so
get
cool,
DCMA'd.
Man.
But nobody recognized him.
Really?
No one recognized him. People
That's
were just
so
walking
cool.
by, living their life.
You're probably so used to it in the UK too.
Exactly.
Probably in the tube.
Yeah.
Know?
So John Lennon could probably do the same thing. You're just playing at these like low rent gigs.
That's a good point.
Nobody is gonna assume you're actually John Lennon. So it is a pretty good
isn't that
gig.
Funny though, if Paul McCartney is doing Yesterday in the tube, it's not that interesting, even though it sounds dead on like Paul McCartney, because you're like, nah, it sounds dead
on
like
and
Paul,
he doesn't even
know.
Wearing a disguise, he's just like in, like he's just being Paul McCartney.
That's so incredible.
And people
are just, like,
eh,
it's
whatever.
Just a karaoke Paul.
Yeah.
That's so good.
The other weird thing is that Mark Stacer's website links to Yoko Ono's ImaginePeace.com website.
No shit.
Now, you could see like why John Lennon would do that, but why would an impersonator do that when they're trying to get booked for gigs and make money? Why would their website link to a Yoko site?
I maybe would just as seem officially affiliated.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Okay.
Maybe.
We'll give that benefit of the doubt. Also, director Peter McNamee said in his interview that he found him on the internet and that he even lives locally, so I didn't have to pay for his travels because they were in Toronto and Stacer is in Michigan. But it's not that close. It's actually 350 miles
really
from
far.
Toronto.
It's
so
really
locally is like not that local. it's 6 hours by car. It's just as it's farther than Vegas is from here, no. Which is in a different state. And he
if
also you were said
driving 100 miles an hour, it takes you 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
So it's going to take you like 6 hours.
So supposedly, like, he found them locally 6 hours away. And then he also said he found Stacer by looking up English John Lennon impersonators. But Mark Stacer isn't English. He's supposed to be a Michigan native. He also says Mark Stacer says that he was their first and only choice for the role. Which is weird. Okay. They didn't have auditions. They didn't audition anybody else. So.
All right.
Okay. While you're on that note about him being American, when you look up Mark Stacer on Checkmate, there's actually no Mark Stacer in the entire U.S.
What's Checkmate?
I guess it's to look up names of people. Okay. You're told there is a Mark Stacer there, age 60, related to Jan Stacer. But if you go back to Checkmate, you find that Mark and Jan Stacer are actually really Mark and Jan Stizer. It's an alias of Stacer. But Mark Stizer is only 58, which would have made him 52 in 2007 when the movie was shot. But the guy in the film is definitely older than 52. And if you do a White Pages shirt, you find no Mark Stacer in the entire U.S. Hmm. But there is a Mark Stizer, kin to Jan, age 58.
Hmm.
So there's no Mark Stacer anywhere.
And who is Mark Stacer once again?
Mark Stacer's a Lennon impersonator.
Yeah, of John Lennon.
Yes.
Yeah. Just to recap it for
yeah, the John Lennon impersonator yep. that we're talking about, that's the main yep. part of this movie. Yep. But he says he's an American-born guy, and there's literally no record of him
yep.
anywhere.
That underlines it, yeah.
Not even as an alias, except for to Mark Stizer.
So weird.
Also about his website, these are his photos from his personal website. If you're hiring an impersonator, wouldn't you want to see their face? But he doesn't have any pictures of his face. They're all like far away shots of his back and like the top of his head because he doesn't want to do any facial recognition stuff.
Sure.
So this is adding to this theory. If you're going to go with this theory,
yeah.
it'd be because you wouldn't want any
sense.
Facial recognition
stuff.
You have
an agenda.
This is what Miles Mathis, who did this paper, says is the very best part of this theory is if you watch him do the interview for the film. It sounds like, mind you, I said he could do a perfect Liverpudlian accent when he's speaking and when he's singing. Well, this is him talking in his regular voice, which sounds like a British person doing an American accent.
All right.
Okay.
As I've gone along and done this, there's certain responsibilities now that go along with it. And I only hope I can do the image of the person justice. The way people remember him. Flaws and all.
Even though he says is not American.
The public persona, how we would like to remember the man and carry him with us throughout our life.
Yeah, it's very Americanized.
Yeah, it's like, that's not a guy that grew up in Michigan.
Yeah, no.
It doesn't even have that Northern American dialect where it's like the, oh, don't you know, or whatever. Like, he doesn't even have like, it's like he's trying to do a version of an American accent.
That he learned in a London theater school.
Because didn't go into this thinking anything of it, but then hearing that interview, I was like, that is pretty, weird.
Pretty weird.
Like, it doesn't really sound like an actual American.
That's crazy.
But when you hear him doing John Lennon, it just rolls off his tongue like he's doing a completely natural Liverpudlian accent.
Okay.
So this film, like I said, was super, super low budget. But if you look at where they're filming stuff, there's a lot of stuff in the background. There's so much to this PDF, but I'll just touch on a few things. One is that there's a lot of hidden gems of stuff that John Lennon did and was known to collect, like old clocks and stuff. It was in the background and drawings of whales, which is stuff that he liked. But there's this very expensive, there's very, very expensive guitars in the background, which how would you do that? Why would you spend that money just for set decoration when you don't really have that budget? And the Lennon character in the movie, his name is Noel Snow. He plays a hollow body natural finish Epiphany Casino just like Lennon played. His bandmate is playing a Gibson ES-330. And he goes, well, the Casino isn't a very expensive guitar. Anyone can buy one. Those are probably Stacer's guitar. But is the vintage hardwood grand piano also Stacer's? How about the vintage AKAIGX635D reel to reel with six VUs, which they are actually using in the movie. Now, these are like, this is like recording studio equipment that's super, super expensive, but also super vintage. Like, it's the actual type of recording equipment. Like, not just it's like it, it is the actual make and model and year of the ones that were in John Lennon's actual studio that he has pictures with.
Okay.
So, if it's just for, you know, pretending like it's John Lennon's studio, why would they spend all that money? And where could they even track something like this down? Isn't it much easier to believe that maybe you're actually in John Lennon's studio? Like,
it's no, kind of, it's not.
It's
no,
kind of easier it's to believe not. It. Because how?
But that's a hell of a leap, though. Like, to go from there to there is a hell of a leap.
What's a hell of a leap?
It's a quantum leap.
To go
well,
from...
Well, to go from, like, you know... How did they get the equipment? Oh, maybe it is John Lennon's studio. That's all.
Well, there's, it's not just like, if it was just one or two guitars and it's like, well, those are pretty expensive vintage guitars. Maybe they tracked it down or maybe they rented it from somewhere.
Yeah.
But when you take into consideration that all of the guitars in the background, not even front and center, like in the background are that, plus right. all this recording equipment, which they list all like the Krummer Roadrunner 2 keyboard, the band members playing that are the dates from 1980, and it's extremely rare. There's vintage analog mixing consoles, one above the other. The large top one has 10 VUs.
I got it.
It's like, how did they get all this
stuff?
Someone
just bought it.
Someone just bought it. Yeah. Yeah, sure. You could say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, someone just bought all this stuff to make the film seem authentic.
Sure.
But McNamee said in the interview that the movie was near zero budget. He couldn't even pay for Stacer's travel expenses. So if they couldn't afford to pay for Stacer travel, how did they afford $60,000 worth of old equipment for a background set? If it was just in the background, then why was it running? If it was just like made to look like it. They also say like maybe it belongs to McNamee, who used to be a music producer. But they shot the band scenes and they shot the band scenes in his studio. But there's no confirmation of this. Or any of his time as a music producer. And he doesn't even mention that on his LinkedIn profile.
Okay.
Says he's a writer, producer, director of television commercials, promotional commands, and corporate communication. But yeah, just very interesting that like they were able to afford that. Also, I didn't come across this before that he didn't get paid to be in this movie. Mark Stacer drove 350 miles to not get paid for this movie.
Well, he's obsessed.
Right. So yeah, they cover like all the whale stuff in the background, but look at this. These are some of the pictures, which I can't really show you on the podcast unless you are watching on YouTube, but, down to basically they're showing different angles of Mark Stacer versus John Lennon. And he has the same moles in the same place.
So just take me through why would John Lennon do this?
Okay. That's a great question. So according to, obviously we can't say for a fact if this were a true theory, why John Lennon exactly would do something like this. But because of the title of the movie, Let Him Be, the paper speculates that fans may have figured it out that maybe they went to one of Mark Stacer's gigs and they were like, that's actually John Lennon. And so the movie is like a message like, hey, even if this were true, just let me be. Like, just leave it alone. Just let it be that. Just let people think.
But did he say any of that?
Did who say any of that?
Stacer.
Well, why would he say any of that?
Oh, no, but where did they get the inspiration to say, let me be?
Oh, because that's just the plot of the movie.
Okay, got it.
Is that they actually find John Lennon Word. And John Lennon says, hey, like he actually shows him the bullet wound from getting shot. And he's like, I'm laying low. Just like, don't tell anybody about this. Don't tell anyone I'm still alive. Cool. So that's like the plot of the movie. And they speculate that maybe John Lennon is trying to send a message that like, hey, even if you think I'm out there still alive, like don't come looking for me. But here's a little bit of me, you know? And I think like if I were John Lennon, if I were to put myself in this like mentally, like if I had to fake my death and like still be alive, but I'm still an artist, like I would still want to be making music and I would still want to be performing.
Sure.
So it makes sense that there would be a original music from John Lennon's character, which sounds really shockingly similar to John Lennon, and that he's performing as John Lennon, like if you were forced to fake your death and go into hiding somehow. And those reasons of like, well, why would he fake his death and go into hiding? He actually breaks down in this particular theory, which I'll try to link it in the description, but it all has to do with money. There's a lot of details on why and how it comes to that conclusion, which basically are about the music industry, like the music companies, Blackstone and BlackRock, basically eating all of the competition and becoming one giant conglomerate of a music industry where there's no separate companies and it's all owned by the same companies. Right now it's narrowed down to just a few companies.
Yeah.
And that anyone who has rights to different songs or who is making a lot of money off of the music industry, they kind of made a deal with to like, give us your rights, okay. Basically.
Okay.
And there's a lot of details that he goes into about that. I don't really know about it, and it will take a long time to go through all of those details. But I did think that it was a fun read, and looking at the pictures side by side, even of like different things like the mole placement, his teeth are exactly the same. They're missing the same molars in the same place.
Yeah, I got it.
The veins on the back of the hand are the same. Like, it's just so interesting. And then when you watch like Mark Stacer being John Lennon, I will say there are a few songs where it's like, okay, yeah, that doesn't sound exactly like how John Lennon performed it. But if you were doing an impression of yourself that you didn't want people to know, wouldn't you kind of switch it up a little bit?
Very generous, but yeah.
Yeah, well, if you're going to open your mind enough to go down this theory, okay, yeah. I'm just trying to think of all the different aspects. Sure. Like, okay, if this were me, would I do it like that? No. Would I, if I wanted to still perform and do it basically hiding in plain sight, yeah, I would. You would have to switch up some parts of your act to not be like found out.
But you know what
maybe
I would do?
Some parts of your image and stuff too, to look like someone that's trying to pretend to be John Lennon. Oh, by the way, you wanted to see, here are some of the other John Lennon impersonators where you could think, yeah, they look like John Lennon. They look similar, but you can tell like when you look at a close up picture of them that that's not John Lennon.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
Even if they can do the exact mannerisms and vocal work. So pretty interesting. Oh, also the FBI seized a set of John's fingerprints that had been put up for auction.
Why?
Well, I mean, someone could probably compare them to.
So the idea is that it just protects what happened.
Yeah, because. Because
they hid him somehow.
If someone got Mark Stacer's fingerprints and they got this and they could compare them. Yeah.
All right, cool. Hey, look.
Oh, also, Liam Gallagher of Oasis thinks that John Lennon's alive and was like, and mentioned it and then had to backtrack and pretend that he meant that like he's John Lennon and he's crazy.
Well, look, if you're a big John Lennon fan, I mean, I think Mark Stacer is
go
like,
check out Mark Stacer.
That's where you got to go.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure after this paper came out, Mark Stacer stopped performing live gigs. But this paper was basically trying to tell people to let him be. And if you are a John Lennon fan and you want to see Mark Stacer, the best thing for you to do is just like not continue to exploit this theory, because then he might not continue to perform, which I think is what happened.
So we're going
to
put this podcast out and hope that he doesn't hear it, basically.
Well, this is a big stretch, you know, to think that someone might have faked their death and been alive as their own impersonator for so long. But I will say that it's a very interesting read.
Well, it's old hat for us.
It's fun to use your imagination that way. Imagine there's John Lennon.
No. Imagine Mark Stacer.
Imagine he's Mark Stacer.
Thank you. That's what has a better ring to it.
Yeah.
All right, we got to go, guys.
All right. Well, we're way thanks over. For listening. And if there's any other celebrities you'd like me to look into, whether or not they're alive or dead,
bring it.
If they're alive, I'll tell you why they're dead. And if they're dead, I will tell you why they're alive and why and what the internet thinks
we'll
about
it. We'll never confirm your theory. We our theory, asshole.
Well, even with the mainstream theory of John Lennon getting shot, there's still people that think like, well, even if he did die, it was a CIA setup and the guy, what's his name, Mark David
Chapman.
Okay, how come he gets to be interviewed by Larry King? What other murderer gets Larry King hours-long specials. So they're like, because he's a CIA plant and they need to remind you that John Lennon's dead.
Yeah. What did Chapman say during that interview, by the way?
He just says why he did it. And
he's like, yeah, I think Lennon just sucked. About his music sucked.
No. Do you know why he...
No.
You don't know the official story?
I have no idea.
Oh, because he was mad at the Jesus comment.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah. And so he was deeply offended by that. And so there's one that he's really religious and he wanted to straighten that out. But then there's also stories of him worshiping Satan. So...
This is why people who get deeply offended can fuck themselves. In my opinion.
I don't know.
Yeah, just fuck yourself instead.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what we'll end it. Fuck yourself instead.
Thank you.
But check out the link if you're interested in that and check out all of Wild's conspiracy. There's a lot of videos you can watch on. There's so many theories about the Beatles. It's really actually insane.
All right. Check us out on Patreon. We have
patreon.com/sticky.
I do a show called Crypto Corner on there. Like 2 hours a week, guys, taking you live through all my crypto moves. It's been sick for a lot of people. And also, yeah, you get the show a day early if you're on there. And thank you so much for supporting us.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.